morning.
Good morning.
It is always a pleasure to be with you, and I think it is indeed appropriate for us to affirm on this day of days that God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Now I know I'm back home. Friends, it's good to be with you at the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. As those of you who have been around a while are well aware, this church had served as my church home for a number of years when I lived in the community. And then after that, of course, my mother, she joined me in this community, and then she was here longer than I was. So this has indeed been a special congregation for our family. Now, as far as, and there are a number of people who are here. Pastor Dave mentioned that we had a family reunion of our own, and it was down in Swickley where our family's from, and there were some 100 souls who were gathered there, and they still may be eating. They had so much food there. And but visiting with me is, of course, my wife. She's here, and her brother, Mark, from Atlanta, Georgia, just outside Atlanta, Stone Mountain. Her best friend from preschool, Lori Harris. I'm not going to say how many years ago that has been. And my wife's mother, my mother-in-law, who's here from Jacksonville, Florida. And then, of course, my own mother, who came all the way from O'Hara Township, and just right around Fox Chapel. So, friends, it's good to be here with you so that we can indeed worship the Lord together. I bring you greetings from the Princeton Theological Seminary, where I am now employed. I have been there for about 4.5 years, and Princeton Seminary has approximately 500 students. It's been preparing women and men for the ministry since 1812. It was the first of the theological seminaries of our Presbyterian Church, now USA. So we have been there for a while, and we have some people from the Pittsburgh area who are students, and a number of us who are still Steeler fans there. Friends, please pray with me. Great God, we thank you for the witness of your word. We ask indeed that you would illumine our minds to indeed receive what you would have us to hear. And indeed, allow us to be about your business, not just today, but every day. We ask this in the name of the one who has come to save, Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Our scripture lesson comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Well, bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left and over and of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray once again. Great God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Friends, in a number of ways, it is so appropriate for this morning's passage that it be centered around a meal. Because you here at Glenshaw Valley, you know something about eating, am I right? You know, it broke my heart that I had to miss your 130th anniversary. I had already committed to lead worship at a church that is located on down by the Jersey Shore. And I didn't want to leave them, and I told them I was going to do this about a year ago, and then I heard just a couple of months before that about your party, so I was sorry that I had to miss it. Still, I'm sure that there was plenty of food for your celebration, and I'm sure that there was fellowship aplenty. I know a number of churches in this Presbyterian Church USA, and I know of only one other one that throws an even bigger party on regular occasion. I mentioned before about my wife being here with her best friend from preschool, and their home church, the Broad Street Presbyterian Church in Detroit, Michigan, knows how to throw down. They have parties there. They have fried chicken that they fry in the kitchen. They have fried fish, macaroni and cheese, green beans, collard greens, sweet potato pies, and red velvet cakes. And I tell you, they know how to do it. Several years ago, the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church was in Detroit, Michigan, and they hosted more people than they could actually hold, and for worship and for a meal afterwards. And some of my students were in that gathering. I was there as well, and my students said that was the best meal they ever had. That was the best meal they ever had, Lori. But I need to move on from talking about all this food, because otherwise you'll never be able to listen about what I'm trying to talk to you about this morning. But because regardless of our meals that we have here and they have at Broad Street, it was a special meal they talked about at that time when our Lord was in their presence. Now, over the centuries, there has been a difference of opinion among scholars as to the facts surrounding this particular passage. The debate has not been whether or not this event actually did occur, but rather it surrounded this one specific aspect of the story. Did the food just simply appear? As through the miraculous multiplication of the five loaves and the two fish, the actual translation tells us that there were two small fish. They weren't two large tunas. They were two very small fish. Wow. Or was the food already in the belongings of the people in the crowd, and they were so touched by the experience of the day that that sense of generosity touched them and so that they could share all that was in their possession with those who were around them in that impromptu gathering? Now, countless sermons and theses have been dedicated to this subject of this passage, so I am sure that the debate will continue. You know, one thing about church, folks, we can debate something all up and down. We have a lot of good time talking about this and about that, and we think that we have the right answer, and God laughs at us because there are some things which are simply outside our level of comprehension. Now, I am of the mind that I just prefer that the first suggestion, that it was Jesus who transformed these relatively meager rations so that they could feed this huge crowd, which had grown to become, I like this, 5,000 men plus the women plus the children, because that was a huge crowd. All of obviously it was the perception of those in the early church that there was a miracle that had taken place there. In fact, this is the only miracle performed by our Lord which is actually recorded in each of the gospel narratives. And even if one is so inclined to choose the latter interpretation, that indeed people were so moved to generosity that they kept on sharing, we still have to indeed affirm that being in the Spirit of the Lord impacted them. The Lord's hand was indeed at work in allowing something miraculous to take place. But I tell you that there is something that is quite basic in the telling of this particular story, something which can speak to the heart of every man and every woman and every child of every nation. It can talk to us in ways that we can clearly understand, for we can all comprehend the nature of hunger. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
We know about hunger. Maybe we do not want to be hungry, but we know what it may be like to be hungry and the importance of being fed. There is nothing that is more basic than being fed. And it was one thing to express goodwill that a person have his or her most basic needs addressed, and it is quite another thing altogether to take care of business. Jesus was a Lord who took care of business. Do I hear an amen about that?
Amen.
Jesus took care of business. It is one thing simply to say that you will help somebody out. It's another thing altogether to do something about a person's condition. It's one thing to say that you will pray for another, while it's something together altogether different to tend to the needs while you are praying with them and for them. Yes, it is so easy to understand the timeless quality in this particular passage of the scriptures. Still, I think that the true value in our lesson lies not merely in the events of that day, as specific needs were indeed satisfied. People were fed. But I think that as we look at the whole scope of scriptures and of the history of Christianity, the value comes as we realize that our Lord was seeking to have those who would become his followers to have the faith to approach life in ways that were radically new. You see, our Lord knew how to take people and their thinking from one way and to turn them in another way. You see, my friends, like folks of today, our friends in biblical times often lived within a very limited understanding of what could be. You might say that they lived like us, my friends, here at Glenshaw Valley. They lived in that mostly comfortable box. Oh, we like to be in that box. Don't mess up our box. Just let us indeed have fun in our box. Yes, Lord, and let the Steelers win another Super Bowl. You see, our box has been shaped by a certain level of experience. And this box has been conditioned to tell us what is possible and, yes, what is not possible. This box teaches us to protect ourselves first and not to worry about the other until after our needs have been satisfied. This box also tells us that we can only trust that which we can see, which we have known. But our Lord viewed it as being absolutely essential, an essential part of his ministry to break down the barriers of the boxes that have been erected in certain places. Our Lord helped those who would be his followers to indeed dare to dream, to dare to hope, In other words, to dare to believe so that the miraculous could be realized. In our passage, when Jesus became aware of the scope of the situation, the lateness of the hour, the size of the crowd, and the truth that they were hungry, he could have just said, okay, yes, send them out there. Let them take care of themselves. But he instructed his disciples, you give them something to eat. They're looking around, okay, we think Jesus is losing it. Their response was so genuine, spoken like the treasurer of a small Presbyterian church in the middle of summer when attendance is low and the offering is even lower. And the bills were, you know, they're struggling to pay the bills. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? The attendance low, the offering lower. What are we to do? The disciples replied, we have nothing here, but these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. Their response focused on what they did not have. It was as if they wanted to say, we have nothing at all. Yes, there are these loaves and yes, these very small fish, but they cannot have any impact on something of this size. Look at the crowds that had gathered. You know, it's interesting, you think about what had happened right before this passage and reading of Matthew's text. Because there was a death that is talked about there. John literally lost his head. John the Baptizer was beheaded. Jesus was trying to grasp with the fact that his cousin had died. They didn't have the internet there, but news still traveled fast. He wanted to get away. Pastor Dave, every once in a while, Jesus needed to take a break too. He wanted to get away, but the crowds were just following him. He went into a boat, landed, cured people, and they needed to be fed. Oh, they needed to be fed. Our treasury is so small. What good can we do? Churches think, oh, if only people would make their pledges. If only they pay their pledges. If only they would tithe. If only those who could give more would actually give more. Things would be different. I heard someone say amen to that. However, even in their less than hopeful response, we hear of a possibility to receive a blessing from the divine. You know, you always have to look for those blessings. They said, we have nothing here, but. Think about that. We have nothing here, but. In this statement, they were able to admit that they had something. It did not appear to be much, but it was something. Just as we might be tempted to say that we don't have much. Look at our little homes, our meager salaries, our little pensions. Oh, forget about savings. We have just our very selves, and that's not that much. But when what we have is touched by the Almighty, we can discover that what we have is more than enough. Do I hear an amen? Amen. When the grace of God is in the midst of a situation, my friends, think of what the possibilities can be. Jesus said to his disciples, bring me what you have. Bring me those loaves and fishes to me. Bring them here. Bring me what you have. Bring all that you have. Essentially, he was saying to them, bring me your very selves, and I will show you what can be done. bring me what you got. I will show you what you can accomplish with my help. And with that day, 5,000 men plus women plus children were fed. Think about what Jesus did with 12 disciples. He went out and he transformed the world. You see, my friends, there is no such thing as nothing in the vocabulary of my Lord. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
There is no such thing as nothing in the mindset of the faithful. What we bring is something, and who we are is somebody in God's sight. There is no limit to what God can do in and through you and through me. Friends, this morning, we have come to this table to be fed, to be nourished, to be strengthened for the journey ahead. Empowered by the love of God, we continue to move forward as a people and as a family, free from the limitations which had previously been presented as the final word. You know, we like to put those things in boxes. We can't do any more. We have the final word. That's it. But I remind you that that position of having the final word can only be held by the one who alone has the ability and the authority to create something out of nothing. All praise, all honor, all glory be to God this day and every day. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.